The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Jesus reminds us that at the end of time, we are to straighten up and raise up our heads because our redemption is drawing near. While some of Jesus' disciples were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart. And let not those who are out in the country enter it, for these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding on what is coming of the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is the gospel of our Lord. We join Christians throughout the world in confessing our Christian faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's hear those words one more time. Oh, make your church, dear Savior, a lamp of burnished gold to bear before the nations your true light as of old. Oh, teach your wandering pilgrims by this their path to trace, till clouds and darkness ended, they see you face to face. My friends, even as we're going to be talking about the words of our gospel lesson this morning, I'd like to share these words to you once again from the second lesson, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one, and we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Would you believe that I came up with this title about a month ago? Had enough yet? Boy, if you didn't know better, it simply is my way of starting to reflect on what has been a week that, in many different ways for many of God's people here, it's been a very, very, very unique week. And I guess the question does, in some ways, need to be asked. Have you had enough? Because, you know, I'll tell you, the political ads are gone, and yet it doesn't seem like, you know, things of what happened this week have gone away. But we live in a world where the question is going to be asked of every one of us, and sometimes the answer is going to come in ways that surprise us. We may not even realize that we're ready to answer the question, yeah, oh yeah, I've had enough. I'm ready for what the Lord is going to bring to me next. Because that's what the last days, whether we're talking about our life or this life, are all about. An understanding that at some point it's going to be enough. We as God's people are at some point going to become a little bit tired and fed up with this existence. It's not pleasant. Oh, it may have its moments. In fact, it may have some really, really good moments. But more times than not, it's going to show you what is really going to happen in the kingdom of God. No, my friends, we live already in a time where things are not pleasant. And the way Jesus was talking, might he have been talking about what is going on today? You will be hated by all for my name's sake. You feeling that? Possibly. You will be, shall we say, accosted by relatives, parents, other family members, friends. You know, there was an estimate that between Wednesday morning and Friday afternoon, more unfriending, if that's a word, on the social media site Facebook, had taken place in 72 hours than in any previous month in the history of Facebook. And over what? More on that in a moment. But all of a sudden, we're living in a different world. We're living in a world where even as we have a kind of a comprehension that, yeah, things are starting to come to an end here, and that there's bound to be more, but at some point, the end is going to come. Now, that's true, of course, for every single one of us. We live our lives being prepared for the possibility that one day we will have had enough. One day there won't be any more. Rarely are we ready for that day, although there are those that are quite ready. Because this world is filled with so much. If God's people will indulge me for just a moment here. Yesterday morning I visited with the Cryer family at the hospital, and it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I knew things were not, you could tell then things weren't going well. I really didn't know what was going to happen, but I got over here to some meetings at church, and I did not get word until I returned to the hospital of what had happened. But I returned to the hospital and went back up to the room where I had been, and a curtain was drawn, and you could still hear machines, but something just didn't seem right. And it didn't take long before a nurse that the family had gotten to know in a very short period of time had tapped me on the shoulder and had said, "She's not here anymore." I knew what that meant, but it struck me that in such a short period of time, somebody else found themselves in what very likely was a very similar situation to what their family member had been in. And there will always be another, and there will always be another. That's the reality of this world, and how sad it is, especially for the families that are involved. But you know, we're preparing ourselves for something else, because it isn't just us that are going through this. All of creation is preparing itself for an end time. You were reading some of the stuff, and sometimes it's difficult to keep up with everything, because Jesus is trying to set the table for so many things. One minute he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that was indeed fulfilled just a little bit before AD 70. The next moment he is talking about the kinds of things that you can expect, the tribulation that is always going to follow Christians, the reality of the church in this life until it is given its glorified existence in the life to come. And then he'll spend some time talking about what is going to happen as the old heavens and the old earth come to an end. And that also will not be pleasant. Even as there's no pleasant way for each of us to be brought into life everlasting, there's no pleasant way for this world to pass away either. And it's talking about how it is that people are going to be in perplexity about all of the things as there's going to be all this stuff happening in the earth, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. And then it even talks about people fainting with fear. As you do a little bit of a word study on the word that's used there for fainting, you realize, well, okay, fainting might be one word. But if you've ever heard the term scared to death, that's where that comes from. Imagine that. People literally, not used as a metaphor, literally scared to death. It's not a pleasant world. But it's a world we are already beginning to see. Okay. Between our lives and this world, that's what we have to look forward to. What do? Jesus' words were clear. Straighten up. Raise up your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near. What redemption is that? It's the redemption of God's people who understand that they have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That they have been made a part of his kingdom as faith has been given to them. Faith always in a way that does not involve us actively, but in which God actively places that faith in us, starting in the waters of holy baptism. An amazing thing that God does for each of us. And then gives us lives. Lives that, even in the face of whatever it is that we're up against, and the forces of evil that assault us both inside and out, gives us a faith that becomes fruitful and useful. Gives us a faith that endures through the difficult times until we are called home. And whether we are going to be called home one by one, or whether we're going to be that generation of people that will be here when the Lord comes on the clouds of glory, we're going to be ready. Or are we? There are so many factors that are standing in our way. And perhaps never has that been more clear than in the last weeks and months, whatever the case might be. Because what's going on out there? In a world that we need to try to engage with a message of salvation is getting almost scarier than what would happen with the sun and the moon, the stars and the earth here as we are to take the message of salvation. And what's out there now? If ever you wondered what was out there, it's there to be seen. When you are dealing with a people that more and more and more have ignored the promises and the good news given to us through Jesus Christ giving his life on the cross for us, rising to life everlasting, always being in heaven, interceding for us. If you want nothing to do with that, something is going to have to fill that spiritual hole. There's going to have to be something that goes in its place. And unfortunately, if you ever had any doubt, you're starting to see what the true God for some people is. For some people out there, politics itself is a god. They're going to live and die on the things that are going to happen. And look, if I have to give you a perspective on this past week's election, folks, I've been watching elections since 1968, almost 50 years. Now, in 1968, I wasn't old enough to vote, but I remember watching the telecast. And one of the people back then was a gentleman named David Brinkley that always had this most unique accent. And he kept talking about and using that own special accent of his about these electoral votes. And I had asked my dad, I said, "Now, you said that you went somewhere and voted tonight." I said, did you vote an electoral vote?" I didn't know any better. And after he explained the system to me, then, you know, it's faithfully happened every 4 years since then. And no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, there are going to be nights where things are going to go comparatively well and nights where things are not going to go so well. But friends, to live and to die like our whole life is built into an election. Folks, let's remember what God has done for us, including giving to us the governments that we have had. And there have been a whole bunch of them in the almost 50 years since I started watching elections. Somehow, the Lord is going to try to have, you know, his kingdom come into this world and his will be done, no matter who it is, at the national and state and local levels. And the most that we can do is pray for the people that are either are currently in office or about to be in office. But friends, don't make it your God. Your God is here, loving us with a love with which we cannot love him. And then, friends, we need to have a cognizance on the kinds of things that truly are happening in the world. When other people respond to events of life, whatever's going on, with fear or whatever, we have to respond to it with a calm assurance that no matter what, your Savior is with you to the end of the age. Once he defeated death, now he has one purpose: to call all of the people that he died for to his own. And that's going to happen. And so one day, and again, who knows? It might be that day that the Lord has placed, we'll use the term, an expiration date on you. And when he does it, that's the day we're going to heaven. When that day comes, or if we are the generation of people that are finally going to be the ones where, in the midst of all the perplexity of this world, he comes on the clouds of glory, what's he tell us to do? Straighten up and lift up your heads, because your salvation is near. All the things that Jesus did, including working through you, whatever it is that he has you doing, is about to come to its fulfillment. Don't be afraid of it. Don't fret. Don't walk away from God. Embrace that moment, because your salvation is near. That's what Jesus has done. And until that day comes, my friends, that's why Paul encouraged us to direct your heart to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. For he's not going to abandon you. He's going to love you. And he's going to take you to be his own. My friends, straighten up. Raise up your heads. Because even now, your redemption is drawing near. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, your glory fills the universe. Your mercy is never ending. Your truth lasts forever. We thank you for all your mercies, which you have led us from the darkness of sin and death to eternal light through your word. We thank you for your every blessing, in particular for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We worship him who humbled himself so that we might receive the forgiveness of sins, the assurance of eternal life, and the certainty of the glorious resurrection of the body on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, protect us, O Lord, from the troubles of this world, from its false promises, false prophets, and from every evil and distraction that would have us make other gods in these days. Teach us how short our lives really are, that we may live safely in your truth and love, and also be prepared every day to stand firm, to lift up our heads, knowing that our salvation is near. Lord, in your mercy, bless the work of your people, O God. Help them to keep on doing your work faithfully and untiringly throughout our lives. Cleanse your church from everything impure and false, that it may be pure and faultless when the Lord returns. Remind us always, O Lord, that whatever it is that we do for you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, uphold all who live in reverence and obedience to you. Rule and direct the nations of the earth, undermining all human pride, destroying all oppression, and standing by those who are persecuted. Move us in our nation to always be what truly is one nation under you. Help us always to be generous as we work for the well-being of all people. Direct our leaders, especially those that have been elected and soon will be beginning their terms in office. Give us people who are upright, unselfish, God-fearing, strong, and ready to serve you. Remind us, O Lord, that in the midst of the life that gives us so much uncertainty, your power, presence, and direction is one thing that will always be there. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, living in this life is often very difficult. So we ask for you to look with an extra measure of the compassion and the love that you show to your people in times of trouble. We ask your blessings this morning on the family of Shirley Kleinschmidt, on the family of Donald Klug, on the family of Pauline Cryer, and also on all who are sick or have burdens of body, mind, or spirit. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives who is in need of the special help that you give, that we name before you in a moment of silence. Heal them and strengthen them according to your love and their need, O Lord. For we ask all these things in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes on the middle of page 9 with the unison prayer closing in benediction as we close in prayer together. Eternal God, as we face the uncertainties and darkness of life in this world, help us also to take great hope in the promise of your deliverance into the brightness of eternal life with you in the new heavens and earth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.